Hey, Carm Capriato here with episode 438. Now, building a new facility can make or break you. So many variables and decisions to consider, not to mention the added challenges, issues, and problems. It's a huge endeavor. And Doug Callahan just opened his new shop in October 2018, and he shares his ground-up new building experience just for you.
I think you could waste a lot of time, and what do I know about the construction in and outs? I just needed to have a relationship with a builder and trust them. Not much more like what I expect my clients to do with me, right?
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, Carm Capriato here, and I'm proud to partner with Apex. You know, even in this technology-driven world, nothing beats the face-to-face meetings I've had at Apex, and I know that you will value what you learn and take away at Apex. Now, plan now to attend. It is the perfect time to commit to go to Apex, November 5th through the 7th, 2019. It'll be at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. Now, if you earn your living in the aftermarket, Apex is perfect for you. The biggest of its kind. So for information, visit aapexshow.com. Registration's open. I'll see you there. Hey, remember why you're engaged with the Aftermarket's Premier Podcast? Well, over 500 influential episodes allow you to be the fly on the wall as you hear your industry colleagues discuss all things automotive aftermarket. Hey, today I'm with Doug Callahan, who is the CEO of VIX Service Center, Wainwright, Alberta, Canada. Doug is sharing his experience with you on his new build that has some nice new features, which includes a training room, a gorgeous customer lobby, and Ethernet wired and wireless bays. He built it with customer retention in mind, and now he's reaping the benefits of being able to serve his customers to the best of his capabilities. Find the key talking points, Doug's bio, and more at remarkableresults.biz/E438. Doug is adamant about having a strong banking relationship and the contractor's involvement to help bring the building in on budget. In fact, you won't believe the final cost of the project versus his budget. And also, Doug gives you some details on how his supplier relationship helped support the project. Hey, warm welcome to Doug Callahan from VIX Service in Wainwright, Alberta, Canada. Hey, Doug.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for all your support over the years. It's great to, you know, have you on the show and come back occasionally to talk and be on even a panel or two. What's fascinating about me watching your career and your great business up there is to know that you recently have a brand new building.
Brand new, just moved in October, so we've kind of just broke it in through the winter months, yeah.
So I would love to know, because people love to get their tires changed. I mean, in Canada, changing your tires is almost like a national holiday, am I right?
Absolutely. You bet. And it's always a rush in the fall, and they kind of trickle back in through the summer. But yeah, the fall's a real push. So it was an interesting time to move into the new building.
Bet you it was. And it was probably an interesting time to figure out what you're going to do with all the stored tires while you're trying to build your new building.
Absolutely. It was. Yes. So luckily we knew that tire storage was a thing that we needed to really address. So we incorporated that into the building as well. So everything's organized, which is nice.
Great. Well, so the reason you're here is that we can share your story with the rest of the automotive aftermarket here in North America and around the world to try to appreciate and understand the rationale you went through. Oh my God, what a big project. Do I have the land? Yes, you had the land, but, you know, do I have the money, and will the bank support this? And what about a builder? And what about an architect? And what about workflow? And should I have to involve my people because it's their building too? And oh, should I go into debt? And all these things that you have to go through.
I wouldn't say it was scary. It just, the work that we'd done up to this stage, we had talked to our team that the end goal was, you know, going through working with Bob and doing the coaching and changing the processes and going through all that disastrous pain and growth that we did as a team. There had to be a payoff at the end. The payoff at the end was me as the owner actually getting them what I'd promised them, which was a new facility to work out of. So it was important to me to make sure that we got that to happen for them. And it, you know, I didn't want to let my guys down, didn't want to let my team down on that. So it was the next step we had to take.
But state of the art, affordability, intelligent design, all of those came into play. And, you know, you're a shop owner with all this great knowledge of how to build a new building, right?
No. Honestly, you got a wish list of things that you'd like to see, and you know that you'd want so much space between each hoist just so that there's mobility and lots of space to get around. The key thing is finding a builder or somebody that's going to be able to share that vision and understand the efficiencies that you were trying to get out of that build. And we were lucky enough that the Daventry Development boys that were actually clients of ours in the shop had, you know, knew what we were doing and what we were trying to do, and had a great ability to work with us and change on the fly and keep costs where we needed them to be. So
that's so interesting for you to say that, to keep costs where you needed them to be. I mean, how important is that going in? I mean, who has a budget that says doesn't matter what it costs? You know, the business generates X. The bank wants to see that and say, hey, we can give you money for how many years did you go out?
20-year mortgage, yeah. So, the bank said this was what you had. You had a million, just a little over a million that they were willing to finance, and we had to make the dream work within that budget. So, we started with that budget number and developed the building back from there, because we wanted to not have anything go outside of what we could afford, right?
People aren't doing that enough when it comes to setting labor rates and figuring out margin on parts. I mean, you really need to, you know, get that yellow pad out with a calculator and work backwards and say, listen, in order to get here, I've got to do this up here.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't afford, like, this real dollars. You can't afford to let it fall apart on you. So having builders that understood how vital that was and be involved in that budget aspect with us was definitely helpful in keeping us in line with our spending.
So they were on the team, and you know, a big part of costs of a new building is the architect. And did they have a built-in architect?
They did. Yeah, Nathan was. He drew the plans, drew them to spec. Our architectural costs were minimized based on the fact that they took his overall plan and put the specifics to it after that. But there was no going back and forth with an architect. Let's do this. We need this. We took the plan to them, ready for them to do the engineered plans that we, you know, obviously had to get to make it happen. So Nathan and Aaron were able to really make that come together and use whatever programs they were using. It was, you know, it was every day there was a little tweak here or a little change here that they would come back and forth with. So they were able to do that and not cost me a bunch of money in design changes.
What do you think you saved, Doug?
Well, talking to a gentleman that just built a office building in a town similar, you know, about the same size, his architecture fees were over $300,000. So we didn't pay that in architecture fees. We probably paid a tenth of that.
There's money you could put into the building or into equipment.
Well, it went from a 2x8 construction to a 2x10 construction just in those little savings, right? So we were able to fortify what we needed in the building, yeah.
Wow. Well, you are up in where the snow falls. When you say 2x10, that actually afforded you what, a better level of insulation?
Yeah, we ended up with a way better R value. The original shop I was in was 3,000 square feet. We're now in the existing shop we're in is just a little over 10,000 square feet. And my utility heat bill went up $100 a month. So we tripled the size and gained the whole bunch of affordable savings for sure.
And that would go somewhere along the new pro forma for the new building. But you probably didn't even know that that was going to be the case, did you?
No, that was an unknown. We didn't know how bad the other building was leaking money out into the environment. I mean, I imagine if you took an infrared camera to it in the dead of winter, it looked like it was on fire with the amount of heat that was escaping.
An unfound benefit, very, very small utility cost increase.
Well, and putting in the new heaters and a, you know, tankless hot water system so that the bays are never heating water more than what they're using. Just all those things really, really have made a difference for sure.
In the podcast opening, I mentioned Apex. Now, let's quickly clarify. You know, Apex is not the same as the SEMA show, and I think you know that. Although both are held in the same week in Las Vegas, you know, at the SEMA show, you'll see cool specialty products. And I get it. I've been there. Wow. Tons of fun. But if your livelihood is keeping your customers' vehicles on the road, and that's how you earn your living, then you have to attend Apex, because Apex is the business side of the aftermarket. Now, Apex is where you can see, feel, touch, and talk the business of the aftermarket. Everything you need is under one roof, including new tools and equipment, advanced training, hands-on demos, and one-on-one meetings with your suppliers and manufacturers, needless to mention the networking you have with your peers. And with your Apex badge, you can also visit the SEMA show. One badge does it all. So plan now to attend Apex Tuesday, November 5th through Thursday, November 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. Hey, to learn all about Apex and plan your visit to Industry Week, visit AAPEXshow.com. So let's set the stage for our listener. You had the property. You were already on it with a, what was it, a three bay?
It was a three bay, yeah.
And you moved to a nine bay in one of like the rear corner of the lot.
Exactly. So we built around our existing building. So we knocked one of the bays off. So we went down to two bays at this location. We have a, had a satellite location, which had another three bays, but for this construction phase, we knocked that one bay off and we built a U-shaped building around the existing building. It was always my hope that that would work because I really didn't want to buy any more property. It fit. I mean, it was tight down the backside. And when they demoed the old building, there was some tense moments as it came down that, you know, you didn't want it to fall into this new building. So it was interesting. But yeah, we utilized the whole property. So where my old building sits right now is actually just the parking lot.
What did you have to do, Doug, to have people realize that you were still needing, you needed cash flow, you didn't want to lose anybody?
That was my biggest concern, is that at times you looked like you were closed. And we did as much as we could with through social media, through an advertising campaign in the local paper. We had construction updates. We used our own staff, you know, wearing hard hats and having pictures taken saying, hey, the roof is going on, and just allowing people to understand that we were still operating and open for business. So, luckily through the whole process, we maintained sales through last year's sales. We didn't see a lot of growth, but we were able to track along the same track we were. So to me, that's a win. People do tend to stay away from areas that aren't easy to get into. And at times it wasn't easy to get around here. So
how close was the bank as a partner in this transaction with you?
We've had the same lady that we've dealt with, Helen, at the credit union for many, many, many years. And we're like family, I guess you would say. She was very invested in what we were doing. And she wanted to see us do it. She actually, when the building was completed, came over to take a tour with me, and she let me know that she could now retire, that she's seen me get to where she wanted to see us get to. So that was really nice of her to say, and she's in our court. She, whatever we needed, she was making sure that we were covered, not only, you know, from a money side, but she was making sure that the contractors were getting paid. So there was no backlash on the back end. Our contractors had to provide documentation that everybody was getting paid along the way so that there was no hiccups, right? We weren't getting somebody coming after us for an electrical install at the end of the day.
So you weren't the general.
I know how to run a shop. I know how to do these things, but I believe in hiring the experts for this stuff. I think you could waste a lot of time. And what do I know about the construction in and outs? I just needed to have a relationship with a builder and trust them. Not much more like what I expect my clients to do with me, right?
Did the bank care about where your business was while the construction was going on, and that you had, you know, your cash flow was right? Did they care to see what was going on currently?
No, we've got a good relationship with them, so I didn't have any pressure from them along that ways at all.
I totally get it. And, you know, and these are all great lessons. And the reason we're having this chat is to share some of your wisdom and some of the tactics that you used to get there. And I've always said this, a relationship with your banker and many other service professionals that have come on the podcast over the years said, you got to have a great relationship with your bank.
Absolutely.
So how much money did you put aside for new equipment?
I didn't put very much aside because between the two shops, I had more than enough. When we brought it all together under one roof, I was like, holy, we got double of this and double of that. So we didn't need a lot of equipment. I did have to purchase two more hoists because I needed eight bays to have eight hoists and I was short two hoists. So we did get two new hoists when we moved in, and I did purchase a backup compressor as well, just so that if the other compressor we had taken out of the old building, it was old and I didn't want to have an issue with it going down. And the compressors are up on a mezzanine, so then was the time to make sure we had some redundancy built up there.
Tell me about some really neat, new, cool features that are in the new building.
It's got air conditioning, and I know that doesn't seem like much, but the other shop, we would die of heat all the time. Neat new things. It is wired. It is wired and wireless. It has the capability for each bay to have wired internet, so when we're doing flash programming, the techs don't worry about the stability of their connection. But it's also got high-speed internet, Wi-Fi throughout the whole building. And the gentleman that did my internet and my technology didn't bill us any labor time for doing it. He just loves doing it as a side gig. And we bought the equipment and he set it all up. I can actually almost get my internet three blocks from my shop is how powerful he's made it. So
now you made a secured network for customer versus shop, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. He's only got one spot where they can come in and play with the internet. Other things, we had bulk oil systems put in where they needed them. We've got a pretty powerful air exchange system in the bays to keep the air clean and fresh and moving for the boys. We don't get the bay door open a lot up here, so it's nice to be able to have that. The bay doors are all clear. So this winter, we only get 6 hours of sunlight at times. It was a great work environment with the LED lighting and the lighting coming in from outside. You don't really have to even have a trouble light in the shop. It's just, it's really neat.
Anything special in the customer waiting area?
They've got their candy, their Keurig, a nice seating area, but we're not seeing a lot of people waiting, so that's okay too, but there is a great spot if they want to sit and hang out and have a coffee for sure.
You had told me a little bit about the value of your suppliers and how they were part of this transaction for you.
There was probably about $50,000 worth, I would say, of incidental expenses that you just don't get factored into construction, a lot of it, right? Signage, service counters, the waiting area, all these things. And I saw that it was an opportunity to see who really wanted to value my business.
Or partner with
my business. Okay. That's a good way to put it. So we approached a couple of the suppliers in town and they both came with proposals. And I was already dealing with the Napa Auto Pro or Napa store. And they both came to the table with enough funding to cover off those incidental expenses, moving the hoists. So that ended up not handcuffing me on cash flow. The Napa store that we ended up partnering with, the national coverage that we carry with their warranty and the program itself from an Auto Pro standpoint, won the decision over more than the money, but they wanted my business. They wanted to maintain my business. And as a partner, they agreed to come to the table and pay for those things. So it was a pretty substantial amount of cash they put on the table right at the beginning here of the project and helped me stay really cash positive through the whole thing. So great way to mitigate some of those expenses.
And how long was the agreement that you have?
It's a 10-year agreement. They'll get guaranteed first call through the 10 years. And if they can't get a part or something happens, we will go to the second call, but we'll make our best effort to partner with them to make sure that they're getting the bulk of our business. So
great idea, creative way. And frankly, I think it's the right thing to do. I think suppliers have the wherewithal to help the service professional grow. In fact, you may even say one day in the future, hey, it's time for Vic's Service 2 and see what you could do to find a bank in the form of a supplier.
It was a new thing for the Napa store and Napa corporate here in Edmonton to deal with, and it was outside of the box for them, but they saw the value in our business as well and wanted to make sure they secured our relationship. So it was a good eye-opening for them as well, and to share real numbers with some of the corporate guys to make sure they understand what, you know, an aftermarket shop that's moving along can actually bring to a store.
Excellent. Great, great story. Love that. Now, every project has cost overruns. How badly did it hit you?
The project came in $4 under the $1 million, $75,000. So they...
No, I just can't believe that. Are you serious?
It did. It absolutely did. And an interesting thing is that air exchange unit that I was talking about, that was an add-on that the engineers required afterwards that was a $40,000 add that wasn't in the initial cost. And our contractors knew that where we were and they just absorbed the costs in the build. So they did more work themselves in some areas and not subbed it out so they could cover it off. So they were honest and good to what they promised to do with me. So,
wow, huge reaction to your people. They move into their beautiful new building. They probably had something to say about what you were doing because you went to them and say, hey, what do we need to put in here, right?
Yeah, they got say on what bays they wanted, how they wanted them set up, where we should stage all the shop equipment, how we're going to manage and take care of that equipment. Nobody really talked too much about was the shop sink. Washing their hands in the bays because I'd actually put, they've got their own washroom, but they don't want to use it because they say it's too nice. So I've got to try and figure out how to get a sink in the bays for them.
I was about ready to ask, did they have a break room
Yeah, they've got a staff room. We've got a training room. They've got a locker room. We made sure that stuff was all taken. Their uniforms are all housed here.
All right. Okay. Training room. I love it. I mean, you can't build a brand new building today in the age of we need to train all the time without having a training room. Was that like first on your list?
That for me, it was. Yeah. It was right. I mean, we needed a spot to come together as a group and be able to shut the doors and have good conversations. We do the bay meetings, but it's nice to get everybody in a room where you can set up remarkable results, watch a podcast, do lunch, those things. Exactly. Right. So we needed that. And it's always a great place to have a beer on a Friday afternoon, you know, when you're done for the day.
Canada beer kind of works, doesn't it?
It's how it works. Absolutely.
So customer reaction, you probably had a big grand opening and people came in. Did you find the positive vibe that you were looking for? And did your business grow?
It was two pronged. People were absolutely stunned at the quality and the finish in the building. Lots of times we heard, this is nicer than any dealership I've been in. Wow, I only see buildings like this in the city. Those were great things. Customers loved it. They loved coming in to see the new building. The general populace in town, main streets in town are always something that struggle to survive, especially when there's a highway market that's growing. And we made a pretty big commitment to our downtown, and a lot of people in town were very thankful that we didn't abandon the downtown and stayed here as well. And are hoping that continues to see more growth in our downtown area. We are seeing, I ran the report on Friday, last 30 days, 75 new people, like new original people through the building. Lot more import vehicles popping up. We've got a few more Mercedes, a few more BMWs popping in. People are taking notice that we don't look like that garage.
Yeah, that's a very interesting analysis. Classy place, brand new, nice car. It finds a new home at your place.
Yeah, and I mean, anybody that wants to service those has to drive them 2 hours to a city to get them serviced. So they're pretty tickled. I had a guy with a Nissan Roadster, and the reason he brought it in was because he said it looked like you guys know what you're doing. Nice clean facility, so I'll let you work on my baby. I mean, I asked him, did you go to Google or anyone? He says, no, it just looks like it's a nice, you don't look like any other shop, so you can touch my car.
Do you have the most bays in your town now?
Yeah, the Ford dealer may have 8 or 9 stalls. They're in one big bay, but there's nobody that's come close to our size in Wainwright, no.
How many years you been in business?
I've been in business for 26 years now. The business was owned by my father, so we've been around since 71.
71, long time. Now, you could have stayed there in your three-bay place with your, you know, your annex with another three bays for a long, long time. Take me to the day that you said, we got to do this.
Like I say, it was that day that my communication was suffering with all the staff. Running between two locations was stressing me out. My kids have graduated and left home, and I'm looking at a three-bay garage that's probably going to be another 10 years worth nothing more than the property it's sitting on. Not that I don't take a good professional wage and do things along that line, but as a retirement and as an investment, it was going away from me. And at 47, do I have 20 years left in me or 18 years to make the next move where I can retire in the comfort that I want to retire in? And the answer in that building and that structure was it wasn't going to happen. And what's the succession plan look like in that old building? There wasn't one. I don't know if I could find a buyer that would be able to get me out. Now I believe, of course, the building's owned by a holding company and we pay rent to the holding company. And we've set it up in a way now where we've got something in the next 20 years that we're going to be able to do something with. So that looking forward to retirement phase and the amount of years I'm calculating I have left kind of made my move.
You made an investment in you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to, but you did. And for all the right reasons, it sounds to me.
But I still said to my wife here 2 months ago, I said, did I screw us over? Like, because there's property taxes and all this other stuff. Like, it's all new, right? So did we make the right decision? I know it's right. I know it's good. And she just told me to shut up. There's the old shop guy in you feels uncomfortable, start to panic.
Out of your comfort zone, huh? And you had to face the fear ahead, I guess. And I love what the wife said, just to shut up a you face. Huh?
That's right.
And so is the net operating income of the business continuing to be where you want it to be in the new place in the last so many months?
We've seen costs go up. So I want to see the net income now start to grow.
Recover,
I think. Yeah, we're not going to go through a growth phase like this and not see it dip. You've got a lot of cash that does go out at that construction phase and lawyer fees and stuff. So this year, we're definitely going to be dialed in to make sure that we're capitalizing on all the opportunities that we have with our clients.
Natural outcome of something like this.
It is. Yeah, and you can't get freaked out by it. That's part of being an entrepreneur, right?
Exactly. I mean, that was the best advice your wife could have given you, you know.
Yeah.
And frankly, between me and you, you were probably looking for her to say that to you, right?
I needed somebody in my corner to just say, yes, you're fine.
Advice. You got any, you know, top of your head, you're having a beer with somebody and saying, so give me the best advice you can about, you know, the gutsy move or the big decision.
Find people that believe in what you're to share your vision and find people that understand what it's going to take to work with you to make that happen. They're good quality people and they're out there. They're no different than people looking for us to help them take care of their stuff. Do that and don't be afraid. If the sales volume and the building's suffering and you need to make a move, make the move. It's part of being an entrepreneur and it's part of growing in business and trust it. You have to trust it and have a great partner with you for sure.
Wow. You know, a succinct, great walk through your great move. I so appreciate you coming on and sharing as transparently as you have what's going on with you and what it took to get this thing built. I'm sure we could go on for 2 hours to talk about some great detail, but this was wonderful. Would you do me a favor and send a few pictures so we can put them on the show notes page on the episode?
Yeah. Do you want, I have some through construction and then I have like some finished ones. I can send you a bunch and then you can choose.
Yeah, send me a bunch and we'll pick it. Of course, you know, I'd love that. Don't you have an aerial shot of the two buildings?
Yes, I do. I have a shot of those two. Yeah.
I remember seeing that somewhere, Doug.
Nathan took a drone up and he took a picture of it from above. Yeah.
That's the one I want. I want that. And then, of course, I'd love to have a picture of the building on its own and then, you know, inside and then the waiting room and stuff. Well, Doug Callahan, so big congratulations to you from Vic Service in Wainwright, Alberta, Canada, with your brand new building and the story behind it.
Thanks, Carm. Appreciate your support.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.